Now will you notice, verse 3, here's the vision. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now each is different. The four beasts are here, the lion, the bear, the panther, and the beast with 10 horns. Now, I never saw a beast with 10 horns, except here. These represent kingdoms formed out of many peoples, tongues, tribes, and nations. And it's been true of all of them. Now, verse 4. The first was like a lion. It had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. It was lifted up from the earth, made stand upon the feet as a man. A man's heart was given to it. Now the lion with eagle's wings represents Babylon in particular. King Nebuchadnezzar's intended, as verse 17 declares, that the beast represents the four kings. We'll see that when we get to it. Now, it's a lion that had eagle's wings. And that's an unusual lion, by the way. Now, the eagle's wings, and we'll see again when we come to the panther that we got more wings there than here. But it obviously denotes the ability that the nation had of moving an army speedily. And that has been the secret of any great world power. It was Nathan Bedford Forrest who was asked about how to win battles, and he was pretty good at it. He said the one that gets there the firstest with the mostest is the one that's going to win. And he demonstrated it in his method during the Civil War. Now we find that was the ability of Nebuchadnezzar. He had an ability of moving an army speedily, and it was the thing that brought him to world power. Later on, you'll find out it was the secret of Alexander the Great, and it was also the secret of the Caesars. It was the secret, certainly, of Napoleon. He had that ability of moving an army speedily. And it was used, of course, in World War I, the coming in of the airplane for the first time. And then, of course, World War II was won through the air, largely. It will probably be the determining factor in the future. The one that can move the quickest with the greatest power will be the world ruler always. And that was true of Babylon at the very beginning. And we'll see again the wings, and we'll have more to say about it. Now, the lion was the symbol of Babylon. I have a slide I use when I give an illustrated message on this, and it was taken at the ruins of Babylon. They found a lion there, and it was on a pedestal, and they have taken away the debris all around it, and there it stands. It was the thing that represents the nation. I've been to Great Britain, and I always enjoy going in that area where the Parliament building is, 10 Downing Street, and Westminster Abbey, and Scotland Yard. And you see those great lions there. They represent the British Empire. Of course, those are toothless old lions today. But the lion represented the Babylonian Empire, and we're speaking about that. Now we're told here the wings were plucked. When Gobryas moved his army underneath the walls of Babylon, I tell you, he took off the wings because the movement of the army, and apparently at that time, the army was away from Babylon proper. And as a result, why, they couldn't get back quick enough. The wings were pulled. And now, we are told, it was made stand on its feet like a man. Well, it was the restoration of Nebuchadnezzar when he, we remember, driven from man, as we've seen. And now it says a man's heart was given to it. And I think that refers to his conversion. I think that he came to know the living and true God. And then we have here the lion corresponds, therefore, to the head of gold. And that great city of Babylon and that great nation of Babylon lies in dust and debris over there today. But even in that, their glory still moves out. They've excavated the walls. It was a great city, and the canal was brought through the city. It was built down there on the plain. And one of the wonders of the ancient world was there. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were there. You see, one of the kings married a hillbilly girl, and that's down on the plain there. It's flat, just like West Texas. And she was homesick. And it's a case now of the mountain coming to Muhammad, because he built her a mountain inside the city. It was a thing of beauty. Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And there was the great ziggurat that was there, evidently patterned after the Tower of Babel, made of brick, and around it was like a corkscrew. There was a runway that went to the top, altar on top, where human sacrifices were offered. And Babylon had inside baths, friends, bathtubs. They had brass plumbing, if you please. It's all been discovered today, just as the Romans had it. And they had a library that was tremendous. They had advanced in many fields of science. They had a postal service where they got the mail out all over the empire. And I'm of the opinion they moved about as fast as we're moving it today. And they didn't have jet planes, but they got the mail out in that day. Babylon was an advanced civilization at this particular time. And whereas our ancestors, at least mine, were a very primitive, backward people at this time. This was a great civilized nation. It was the head of gold. It's the lion. And it was well protected with this wall 300 feet high. And four chariots could go abreast around that wall, regular freeway. A great city, a city of beauty. And it went down, you see.